Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. We're on the road today at the Dirt Workshop, and the guy who's maybe you've heard his voice or seen him on some of the Soil Sense workshops, the Soil Sense podcasts that Abby has been promoting, Tim Hammerich from Idaho. Good to have you here, Tim.
You really appreciate being here.
You're very welcome. And you mentioned before you we got on here that you have been to North Dakota a couple of times, always in the summer.
Yeah, I was giving Dr. Abiewick a hard time last summer because I said, hey, this is the second year in a row I've been in North Dakota, and it's beautiful here. I don't know what you all are complaining about, but of course it was both times in the summer.
Now you found out what North Dakota can be.
I indeed did. Yeah, flew in night before last, and it was coming down pretty hard.
Yeah, this is a little taste of what the Dakota, the challenge of living here, livestock producer or a farmer. I mean, iron does not want to behave well at 20 below.
Oh, no, and it's been such a tough year. It's been hard to hear about the weather struggles that have gone on this year. Farmers everywhere, especially here in North Dakota.
Why should a farm, if they have yet to log on and listen to or look at some of the videos of the Soil Sense podcasts, what are some of the things they're going to learn there?
Yeah, well, first of all, with podcasts in general, the great thing about them is they're free, and you download them, and then you're on your phone, you can listen to them anywhere. So definitely would want to download this information because it's featuring farmers right here in North Dakota. In fact, it's featuring collaboration between farmers and researchers and consultants and folks in Extension all working together trying to discover the best ways to optimize soil health. And so we captured some really fantastic conversation, many of them on the farm, sitting down with maybe a researcher who has a test plot on a farmer's field and talking to both of them about how that collaboration happens in real life and what insights have been gleaned from it and how it might help other farmers there and in other areas as well.
As the leader of those, what did you learn while you were in North Dakota last summer creating these podcasts?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I learned, I was kind of coming in as a newbie. I mean, I knew soil health was important. I knew that reducing tillage and bringing in cover crops could have really beneficial effects long term. But I really had no idea of what that looked like in practice. One of the big things I didn't realize is the equipment involved. You know, it's not such an easy thing to just change a farming practice. You have to change the equipment that goes with it. You might have to change the applications that go with it. You definitely have to change your schedule and your habits. And so it's not so easy just to, you know, try something new. But what I saw was farmers that were a lot of times trying on just a small part of their acreage and giving it a try and seeing how it worked, comparing it with what they usually do. And in many cases, they were sort of growing their acres over time by trying it that way.
All right. And such as, what were some of the techniques or tips that they tried that you thought, hey, now that's great.
Yeah, so one thing that stands out is flying on a cover crop and, you know, flying it into corn so you can get it started early, especially as winter comes early, as you've seen, especially this year. Winter can come early, and so flying on that cover crop seed to get it established before winter comes so that it can survive and reestablish itself in the spring. I thought that was interesting. You know, one interesting thing, and we talked about this again last night, the farmer show and tell is Tony Wagner was having trouble with field peas and that they would flatten out and he couldn't get them high enough. And so he actually planted them with flax because flax was strong enough for the field peas to actually climb up. And I thought, what an innovative solution that uses nature and uses farming practices to solve a problem. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, we visited earlier in the previous hour with Lana Shaw of the Southeast Saskatchewan Research Farm where they're growing chickpeas and flax together. And I mean, this whole concept of intercropping, new to a lot of people, but it's really working for many.
It really is. And in fact, again, last night, the farmer show and tell, Tony shared that story, and then we had other farmers saying, well, I'm doing the same thing with soybeans, or I'm doing the same thing with canola, and this works better here because of this reason. It might work better in your area because of that reason. Such a beneficial exchange of ideas, which is really what the Soil Sense podcast is all about, is how can we show how ideas are exchanged for the benefit of everybody.
A lot of producers here have gotten to know you through the Soil Sense podcast. Is that how you make a living? Is that what you do all the time?
That's what I like to do all the time. So actually, when we're off air here, Mick, I need to get some tips on how to get into this media thing full time. But no, it's not what I'm able to do all the time. I do a weekly podcast called Future of Agriculture. I do the Soil Sense podcast. I've done a couple other sort of custom podcasting work as well. But my primary job, what I call my day job, is actually in recruiting. So I help agricultural companies find employees. Since the media stuff has become a larger and larger part of what I do, I haven't gone out and found new recruiting clients. I've kind of just been serving the ones that I was already serving. But I really enjoy doing the media stuff. So this is pretty cool to sit down with you here today.
Okay, great. Now, so you're a headhunter, basically.
Right, exactly.
What is the future job in agriculture that is going to be maybe the most, A, lucrative, or B, the most hardest to find the right person?
Yeah, I don't know about lucrative, but definitely hard to find the right person. Right now, I've had actually farms as they've grown. So farm managers say that they want to hire a data manager, somebody to aggregate not just the agronomic data, but the economic data to kind of put it all together so it's usable. As you know, farmers are inundated with the amount of data that could be collected.
Drawers of data.
Oh, drawers. And so there are tools coming out where they can help aggregate them, but it takes somebody really focused on that. And as a farmer, you wear so many hats that it would be great to have a specialist that I think they're going to be called data managers to help with all of that, which I think is interesting.
Agricultural data managers.
Yeah.
ADM. No, that wait, that acronym's already taken.
That was taken.
Okay. because the farm hand, the dairy, going a lot more technology, the robotic dairy, but still there, and the soil scientist, the, ag econ major, what should they be doing here in the future to make sure they're employed?
Yeah, I mean, the first one would be that data skill set of understanding data-driven decision-making, because that's every business seems to be going that way. I think also, though, understanding biology, everything from biological inputs that we're hearing more and more about to there's some other interesting things going on with there's a company called Pivot Bio, for example, that's trying to engineer a microbe that will fix nitrogen to a corn plant. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Understanding that stuff, there's going to be a lot of opportunities in the biological aspect of agriculture.
Yeah, manufacture ammonia in the soil, and then it's right there next to the root.
Yeah, imagine if you can get the same benefit you get from soybeans, but on cereal grains.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Amazing stuff. There's I sat down here at the at noon at the Budweiser. There's a lot of folks from Budweiser, and so I thought, well, hey, we're going to talk beer, but no, we were talking soil chemistry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have biology and chemistry, and, grandpa loved to drive the tractor. Dad loves to, and still that's the best job on the farm is to drive the tractor. But the chemist, the biologist, and especially with the future of soil health and biologicals and all of these that are going to enhance yield, pretty important to hire the right person. Huh?
It really is. And Anheuser-Busch is a great example. Companies like that, I think, in the future, as the consumer gets more and more interested in how sustainable is my food, how sustainable is my beer, how sustainable is everything, they're going to want the facts. And so we're going to need to know the biology and how are we building soil health and what is the impact of that on the environment. And then we're going to need to know the data. Are we sequestering carbon? So how do we prove it? And if that can get a food company a premium, that premium is likely to be passed on, at least in some part, to a farmer.
Farmers also need to tell their story better, don't they, utilizing social media or create their own podcast?
Right. I know you talked to Dr. Abby Wick earlier, but one example this week that I just found out about is actually she's working with a local zoo here to actually have the agricultural display at the zoo to show people about how agriculture and conservation, which the zoo cares so much about, can work hand in hand. I think more things like that. When we talk about getting our story out there, we often talk about the consumer really vaguely, like everybody who eats is a consumer, and they are, but I think if we really want to get a message out there, we need to know who we're talking to. And so, for you, it may be a different consumer than for me, and have that person in mind and really think of examples when we actually have helped tell the agriculture story to that person.
Yeah, so true, because there is so much misinformation and disinformation out there when it comes to farmers, and farmers do need to tell their story better, but also they need to have the point to make, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think, you know, media like what you're doing and what I'm trying to do is a big part of it. We need to go where the consumer is. And, yes, it's probably a lot of different distance between your farm and a large consumer base, but we can leverage technology to get there.
You are here doing the next generation of Soil Sense podcasts. What's coming up?
A lot of interesting things, actually. The last interview I just did was with an ag inputs provider, so an ag retailer, who has a long-standing relationship with a local extension agent, and how they've worked together to try to benefit farmers. And we had a fantastic conversation about sort of their collaboration and how it's helped them both be better at their jobs. The zoo story I mentioned will make its way also to the Soil Sense podcast. A few folks from the university talking about everything from nutrient deficiency to bringing livestock back on the land, which is a hot topic for a lot of the folks who care about soil health. They see that as the next evolution for them. So we've got a really good mix. It's amazing the amount of collaboration that's happening right here in North Dakota. It really is on the cutting edge, in my opinion, of this soil health movement that everybody's talking about globally.
Yeah, and so the next generation, the next frontier of soil health, some of it's doing what grandpa used to do. Huh?
Isn't that funny?
Or great-grandpa
yep.
used to.
Maybe they were onto something way back when, huh?
Yeah.
It's interesting. But, yeah, it's a big part of it, and it creates opportunities, too, because several of the folks who are focused on row crops want the livestock on the land, but they don't necessarily want to own the livestock. So does that create opportunities for young people interested in raising cattle to have access to places to graze them? I think it's an interesting trend in agriculture today.
And there are a lot of young people who will never afford, I mean, being able to start your farm. I want to become a farmer. Well, it's nobody can do that anymore.
So, no.
Yeah. Have some livestock, you know, put them on the neighbor's land, and yeah, maybe it's a great symbiotic relationship.
I hope so, yeah. But you're exactly right. The barriers to entry are large, so you have to find a niche. And it's possible that niche could be a specialty product that you produce, or that niche could be what they're starting to call ecological services, which in this case, you know, if it's good for soil health, you're providing the cattle that can help.
Interesting stuff. Tim Hammerich out there on the cutting edge with the Soil Sense Podcasts. Thanks for coming to Fargo on a cold day. And we'll take a look at the next generation of the Soil Sense Podcasts.
Great. Thanks so much, man.
You bet, Tim. Thank you very much.